have a text for you this morning from the epistle to Titus, and some very beautifully put words in chapter 3 that describe something of what happens in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only into the world, but as it says in that hymn, be born in us today, when he appears particularly towards us. It is the verse 4 of chapter 3 of the epistle of Paul to Titus. But after that the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared. The kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared towards us in favour of his people. The kindness and love of God our Saviour. And there's a similar expression in the previous chapter. The grace of God. Verse 11 of chapter 2. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. This word appeared. It was invisible before. It wasn't seen. There is the world divided, isn't there, between before Christ and after Christ. We won't say after Christ, we would say in the year of our Lord, Anno Domini. So in the year after his coming into the world. Divides history. There's a great difference between that we read in Isaiah. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. The people without Christ are still in darkness. The world divides up Christmas time over the prices of things in shops. When Christmas comes, the sales begin. Well, you would think that was the main news at the moment. If you watch the news or listen to the news, when is the sale going to start? They're ready. They're waiting for it. And it started on Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock on the internet. And Christmas Day today, big day for the sales online because the shops are closed by and large. And tomorrow, what excitement. Prices right down. Well, this is a small change. They won't be down for long. But our great change that's happening, when the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, toward man appeared, things changed forever. Before Christ came, there were some who knew of him. God had chosen his people, the Jews. He'd chosen Abraham, and then he'd chosen a line from Abraham through David, and then there'd been this promise that this would be to the Gentiles also. It would be a small thing for him to be the Saviour of the Jews, but now to every nation, as was promised, even to Abraham. Through his seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. But yet, 2,000 years later, and here we are, and still millions of people live as if the Lord Jesus Christ had never come into the world. They know nothing of the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, toward man. Now in this epistle that the Apostle Paul writes, of course, he's always drawing our attention in everything he writes to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see what a difference it made to him. In fact, he speaks of even ourselves. What was it like beforehand? Well, here he's instructing Titus to set in order the things in the church in Crete. He left him in Crete, verse 5 of the first chapter, to set things in order. And it says in verse 12, what sort of people? These people, Cretans, people from Crete. What they were Verse 12, even one of their prophets said they were always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. It's a great description. Lazy people, unfaithful people, liars, evil people. Now this is their church. It's got all these people in the church now. So they need to be, it says here, rebuke them sharply. They need to be sound in the faith. But how, what would have changed about them? I said even the Apostle Paul describes himself in chapter 3. He talks about evil, various evil things, and then he says in verse 3 of chapter 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. It's the state of the world, isn't it? But he says, even we were like that, himself and the other apostles and his colleagues. The church leaders, they used to be like that too. But after the kindness and love of God, our Saviour toward man appeared. And then he explains how that happened. Then God has done something. Now, so things have changed dramatically through Jesus Christ. His appearing, his kindness, his love. And that's what maybe the world thinks about at Christmas time. This lovely little scene here. But does it make any impact on them? As it did on Paul, as he expected it to, on these evil beasts who lived in Crete. These liars. What was he going to do for them to know about Jesus Christ? People don't just change, do they? Not very easily. Well, he explains this and the basis for what Jesus Christ did. This is, he came into the world, born of a virgin, and all the story which you know well, for a purpose. And you see it here from verse 11 of chapter 2, where he's again correcting them in their behaviour. They shouldn't be stealing and things and all sorts, and they should lots of instructions are given in this epistle that Paul gives to Titus to teach people. Lots of instructions. But it's always based upon the fundamentals of Jesus Christ. You'll see this right through this book. It always says. Now this is the reason. And here it is in chapter 2 and verse 11. All the behaviour parts of it are explained. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And there you get several aspects of this here. That is the grace of God. It's the gift of God, something that God does for people to bring salvation. God brings salvation. People think that they have to earn it somehow by doing something. No, but it says it's not. We can see that in chapter 3 here. After the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Yeah, I think sometimes people underestimate what it is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clearly the Roman Catholics get in a real pickle about this, because they say your faith alone can't save you. But they don't even know what the faith is. That's why. Because when a person has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has taken him in a miraculous way to put his whole trust in this Lord and Saviour who gave himself for us, chapter 2, verse 14, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. It's God who works this change in us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour. That being justified by his grace, counted righteous, justified, acceptable in God's sight, we should be made heirs according to the hope of everlasting, eternal life. Heirs. People that have an inheritance. What? We may be waiting for an inheritance to be passed on to us. But here is one to be passed on that's given by grace, the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And this is what the difference that this kindness and love of God has made. These people, all of us, are in a natural state that comes right back to the Garden of Eden. You think, well, that's what's that got to do with me? But you understand the Bible much clearly, much better, when you understand the creation, the God created. So we heard a hymn a while ago, a very old hymn from before the Reformation, one of the better ones, and it started on the theme of God's creation and then man's sin and then all his posterity separated from God by sin, and then it speaks of Jesus Christ, and the you realize the context of Jesus Christ coming into the world to, as it says in Matthew chapter 1, to save his people from their sins. This is why he came. This is the light into the darkness. Our sins, this is the problem. This is what has got to be remembered at Christmas time. Jesus Christ came to save his people from their sins. Our sins, as Isaiah says, separate us from God. This is the people that today are still in their sins. I said they're living as if Jesus Christ never came. They've got no hope at all, no salvation for them. Only their sins to appear before God. The Bible says the wrath of God remains, abides upon them. It's a terrible state. Like living in the dark ages. Like turn all the lights off. Living without any lights on. But it's worse than just living in the dark. It's living as people who are the posterity of Adam. Sinners. It's darkness describes sin. It's not just that we can't see where we're going. It's being separated from our God who made us to live for him. So the great impetus for this change is to remind these people, to remind us today, that it's after the kindness and love of God, our Saviour toward man appeared. That's what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference between those who live for ungodliness, for worldly lusts, those who live, there's a list of them here. They're not obedient to the powers that be. That's one of the, here, verse chapter 3 starts off, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. See, it's the Christian world that has stopped rioting and these violent protests. They had one in India just the other day. Terribly violent protests. Not political, but over the crimes that have been going on. In return for some horrible crimes that have been going on in India, the people started rioting and committing further crimes as a protest about crime. I couldn't understand how bizarre such a thing was. Terrible. And so we see it throughout the world. In countries where there's no Christian influence, this natural tendency, we're not going to be subject to these powers that be. We're going to fight them. We're going to get out our guns and start blowing them all up. Let's end it. But we're told to be subject to principalities and powers. They weren't any better in Crete. In the Roman Empire, the powers that be weren't good, but they were ordained nevertheless by God, and we are to submit to them. And the Christian says, yes, my Saviour, the kindness and love of God has appeared towards me. This is my hope. It's not now a political rebellion. That's how I'm not going to be happy. It's not by my works of righteousness, but it's according to His mercy. He's washed us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. God's work from heaven poured out upon His people. So I'm saying, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, it is because God has renewed you. He's regenerated you by the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity. That's what makes Jesus Christ real to us. He shed it on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour. That we are made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so we have, going back 2,000 years to the coming of Jesus Christ, we have the being turned to Him, being brought out of darkness ourselves into the light, turning to Jesus Christ, the Saviour, whose blood was shed, whose righteousness counts for all that trust upon Him. Looking then ahead, right the way forwards, got the satisfaction of His righteousness in the past. We've been adopted into Him who came from a pure virgin but lived fully as a man but was God manifest in the flesh. The full power of God in Jesus Christ. This is the marvelous Saviour, the Almighty, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. And for looking ahead at the same time, you have both these things, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God in our Saviour Jesus Christ. We're not looking backwards all the time, are we, today? Because of what He did in the past, we're looking forward with a blessed hope. It's a great hope with God's blessing upon it. The glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ when He comes. He doesn't come as a baby again, does He? We're not waiting for that scene to happen. We're waiting for Him to come as He's promised on the clouds with His angels to bring all His people to Himself for eternity. This is what makes the great change in us, Him, when we know He's born in us today. This is the grace of God in Jesus Christ. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Can we say that ourselves? That we walked in darkness, but through this work of the Holy Ghost, we've been taken out of darkness Well, the world's just a mystery, full of our own ideas, and we put our trust, by God's grace, fully in Jesus Christ, the one who we remember that he came into the world these many years ago, and we give God great thanks and great praise. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. And Lord, we pray that we who also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another, that we may speak evil of no man, and be not brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Since after the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared toward us, we thank thee, Lord, that it was not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ is truly and fully the Saviour of all sinners who come to him. We thank thee, Lord, for peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he has conquered sin and hell and death, and that he reigns in glory, and that he's coming again. And Lord, we pray thou would have mercy on others as thou hast upon us, our friends, neighbours and family, that they too may be brought out of darkness and into thy glorious light. Lord, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us where we've been slow, where we've been negligent, where we've been forgetful, where we've turned back, as it were, to some of these dreadful sins from which we've been washed. We thank thee, Lord, for the whole Bible that we have, and we pray that in this coming year thou would enable each of us to read thy word, and that thou by thy Spirit would use thy word to correct us, to rebuke us, to exhort us, and to comfort us. We thank thee for the great comfort of the Holy Ghost. We thank thee for all his work that he does in leading us in the way of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless this, the rest of this holiday of Christmas time, to each one of us. And Lord, make us to be a blessing to others, to the glory of thy holy name. In the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.